And welcome everybody to an all new episode of Demimond Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori, from Demimond Paranormal. You can find us on Facebook.com as well as here on Anchor by the same name. To all of our new listeners, I bid you all welcome. And I hope you stay with us for future episodes. And to all of my regulars, I welcome you all back. And as always, I hope you enjoy the content of this episode and many more episodes to come. For tonight's episode, we will be exploring the Caribbean for their haunted locations, some dark and creepy folklore, and also a little bit of voodoo. We're going to be talking about what is voodoo in a nutshell, and also we are going to be talking about a few very important deities in the voodoo religion. So, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And also, we will be listening to three true ghost stories that other people had witnessed and was kind enough to share with us for tonight's episode. So, before we begin tonight's episode, let me just say, if you have a paranormal or ghost story that you would like to be shared on Demimond Paranormal Podcast, feel free to contact me either here on Anchor or on Facebook.com. You can message me your story and I can retell it to our audience, or you can even request to be on the show yourself and tell your story. And have like a guest spot, if you will. So, with that being said, let's dive right in to tonight's episode. Welcome, everyone, to our first segment of tonight's episode. Our first segment is going to be about voodoo, in a nutshell, as I like to call it. Now, voodoo is something that really isn't well understood, at least not by the people who don't especially practice it, from what I gather. It is a religion that is wrapped in mystery. Very fascinating mystery, but it's definitely mysterious. Haitian voodoo is an African diasporic religion that gradually developed in Haiti between the 16th and the 19th century. It arose through a process of syncretism between traditional religions of West Africa and Roman Catholicism. The people who practice this religion are known as voodooists, or servants of the spirits. the voodoo religion remains elusive and endangered. Now, when we think of voodoo, we always think about Haiti, when in all actuality, voodoo is all over the place in the Caribbean. The actual word voodoo means deity or spirit. Its fundamental principle is that everything is spirit and humans are spirits that inhabit the visible world. The unseen world is inhabited by spirits, mysteries, and invisibles, angels and spirits of the ancestors, and the recently deceased. All the spirits are believed to inhabit a mythic land called Gaiman. The primary goal of voodoo is to serve the spirits and to offer prayers, devotional rites to God and particular spirits in return for protection and for health and favor. Spirit possession plays an important part for voodoo and Afro-Haitian religions. The believers may sometimes enter a trance-like state during religious rites. The devotee must, or they may, eat or drink, perform stylized dances, and give supernaturally inspired advice to people. They may also perform medical cures and special feats. Voodoo ritual activity is aimed at refining and restoring balance and energy in relationships between people and the spirits of the unseen world. Now, ritual activity includes dancing, prayer, song, and gestures. And just next, we're going to be getting into the deities, some of the most important deities in the voodoo religion. And let me tell you, everybody, it is absolutely fascinating. I just had to narrow it down to just a few deities to write about, so the podcast itself wouldn't be too long. But, oh my god, I was doing research, you know, for tonight's podcast, and I thought, oh my lord, how am I going to, you know, condense so much fascinating information into one podcast without making it, you know, like, a few hours long. But I've got some info that, you know, I think might be sufficient to, you know, just give you a general idea of what these deities are, who they are, what they represent, and what they're capable of. So let me see, how many do I have? 1, 2, 3. Four, five, six. I have 6 deities that we're about to learn about. And I hope you guys enjoy it. One of these deities, you may strike a chord with y'all if you've ever watched the film The Serpent in the Rainbow. So let's dive right into that in just one moment. Our first deity that we're going to be talking about is a pretty famous one, and you may be pretty familiar with him if you watch American Horror Story, especially season 3, Coven, in which they go to Louisiana, and Louisiana, as we know, has, you know, quite the reputation with Haitians and voodoo. And so they brought in the character that they called Papa Legba. But what I'm going to tell you is the real Papa Legba. He is the genin in voodoo who serves as the intermediary between these spirits in humanity, or the Loa in the humanity. He stands at a spiritual crossroads, and he also gives and denies permission to speak with the spirits. And he is also believed to speak all human languages. Our next deity is Aida, who is the goddess of the rainbow and primary wife of the creator deity Dumbola. The pair often manifest in the skies of Haiti as two intertwined serpents. Daida also serves as the goddess of fertility. Her favorite color is white, so her favorite offerings are white rice, white chickens, eggs, milk, and cotton. Our next deity is a demigoddess by the name of Marionette. Now, in mortal life, Marionette, she was the Mambo who sacrificed a black pig at the start of the first Haitian Revolution. After dying as a martyr, she rose to godhood, and she is the patron deity of both liberation and slavery. She can both bequeath freedom or she can return to bondage. She is depicted as an emaciated woman who afflicts those she possesses with violent fits. Owls are her favorite familiars, and she's also the protectress of werewolves. Black pigs and black roosters are to be sacrificed to her. Now, remember Papa Legba that we mentioned earlier in this segment? Well, Khao Fu is the darker version of Papa Legba. He is the god of the moon and the ruler of the night. His favorite drink is rum laced with gunpowder. He is often seen as a dark version of Papa Legba, and he is the patron deity of sorcerers and black magic. He has lordship of charms, bad luck, destruction, and injustices. Those who are possessed by Khao Fu display dark or black eyes, and they cry black tears. Our next deity is Ogun, who is known as the Voodoo Hercules, if you will. He is the voodoo god of war, iron, fire, metalworking, politics, technology, as well. He is believed to have fought in every Haitian war in a human disguise. His symbol is a sword stuck upright in the ground. Those who are possessed by Ogun can wash their hands in burning sugarcane and feel no pain. And they're also very, very thirsty for rum. And our last deity is Maman Bridget. Now, Maman Bridget is a foul-mouthed goddess and one of the most powerful of the death gods. Her husband is Baron Shamandi, and like her husband, she guards over cemeteries. She is the goddess of justice as well, and rum and hot peppers are her diet, so they're one of her offerings. And this is because of her association with fire. So how are we doing tonight, y'all? I hope you guys are well, and I hope you guys enjoyed those last two segments about voodoo and the deities. I mean, it is absolutely fascinating. Anyway, on to our next part of tonight's episode. I've done my research, and I found a few creepy little folk tales and folk creatures from all around the Caribbean. And I'm going to tell you guys about them. But before we do that, I just want to ask you guys, how you guys doing tonight? I hope you guys are well. I hope you guys are safe and, you know, you're healthy and happy and, you know, ready to take on the weekend and ready to be spooked. I'm just joking, of course, but you know how we are on this podcast. But in this segment, I want to talk to you guys about a few legendary creatures and some folk tales. Our first little creature here isn't exactly scary, but this is the Baku from the Guyanese mythology. And these little creatures are mischievous, and they're almost cruel pranksters that will wreak havoc in your home unless you feed them a steady supply of milk and bananas. In exchange for the milk and bananas, they will reward you with wealth, and they will actually behave and be good. They say you can trap your own Baku by placing a shiny object in a bottle, then cork the bottle once the Baku is inside. However, a word of caution is that if you see any corked bottles floating in the ocean, be careful, for it may hold a starving and vengeful Baku that was thrown away by a previous owner. The Baku is just waiting to cause mayhem. So don't take any chances. Our next little creature here is the Caribbean vampire. This is the Silquoyant. During the day, the Silquoyant, they appear as harmless old women, but once the sun sets, they shed their skin and become a ball of fire. When they are in this state, they can shrink into any little nook, creek, crack, or crevice to pursue a victim. They suck the blood of their victims on their arms or on their legs, leaving bruise-like wounds on the skin. But to defeat a Silquoyant, you can drop a grain of salt or rice in front of her, and she will be compelled to count all of the grains of the rice or the salt. This will give you time to find her skin, the skin that she shed off, and she keeps the skin hidden, so it's no easy task. You must find the skin and be sure to sprinkle the skin with salt. This is so the Silquoyant cannot put on her skin and she will be destroyed. Our next little creature is from Trinidad and Tobago. This is the Duin. Now, the Duin is a child spirit that is both feared by parents and children alike. They are the spirits of the children that have died before they could have been baptized or christened. So they had been cursed to roam the forest of Trinidad and Tobago forever. The Duin are described as naked children, but they may wear a banana leaf or a loincloth. They dwell in the forest of Trinidad, although they are thought to lure children into the forest. And they also may even infest the home of their child victims. And they're also known to pull childish pranks as well. They appear as small children with big straw hats that cover their face, even though the face of the child is completely devoid of any features, except for a huge mouth. The most identifiable feature of the Duin is their backwards feet, and this feature makes it very hard to trace them as well. Duins are malicious creatures, and when the moon is full, they will try to lure children into the forest by imitating their parents' voices. Sometimes the children are found shortly after they had been victimized by the Duin. But other times, the children are never found again. Our next little creepy folklore creature is from Trinidad. This is La Diablisa. And she is of Trinidadian origin, as we said. She is a succubus, and she dresses in clothing belonging to another era. She uses this clothing to hide her ugly, rotting face with a wide hat as well. She also hides her hooved leg with a long dress. She hides her hooved legs in the folds of her dress. She spends her time bewitching men and leading them into divorce, where they ultimately meet their demise, which is usually them drowning in a river. It's also said that her presence is accompanied by the sound of rattling chains. But there is, however, a way to save yourself from her enchantment. What you must do is you must take off your clothes, turn them inside out, and then put them back on again to snap yourself out of her enchantment. Our next creature of folklore is from Jamaica, and this is the rolling calf. The rolling calf are evil spirits who are thought to be the reincarnation of souls of those who are wicked in life. They are shapeshifters that can take on the form of a dog, a cat, a goat, a pig, or a horse. But most commonly, they take the form of a bull-like creature with flaring nostrils, blazing red eyes as well. They may have one human leg, or they may have two hind legs of a goat. They're also covered in chains that drag behind them, making rattling noises, making itself known. Rolling calves roam dark roads, searching for victims to chase and torment. If you encounter a rolling calf, to save yourself, you can drop tiny items such as rice or salt again. The rolling calf will be forced to count every grain, thus giving you time to run away from it. So now, on to this segment. And in this segment, I'm going to be telling you guys about the haunted spots of the Caribbean. And our first spot here, or location, if you will, is Xicalzacare in Trinidad and Tobago. Now, Xicalzacare played a host to both a convent and a leper colony. It's one of the most haunted places in Trinidad and Tobago, and in the 18 in the 1900s, nuns looked after a colony of lepers who were banished to the island. Following years of deaths, suicides, and other depressing unfortunate things that happened on the island, people and fishermen alike have reported seeing nuns with lanterns roaming the cemetery and other apparitions. Many locals refuse to go to the island for fear of the spirits that reside there. Our next location is in St. Kitts, Nevis. This is the Eden Brown Estate. So, according to the legend, the location that Eden Brown Estate sits on is said to be cursed since 1820, when a fateful wedding took place there. On the eve of Julia Higgins' wedding, her groom and the best man, who some say was Julia's brother, had been in an argument that resulted in both the groom and the best man dueling, and unfortunately, that caused the death of both of them. Now, heartbroken, Julia is said to have lived out her days as a recluse, but even after years after her death, people still claim to have seen the heartbroken ghost bride roaming the estate. Our next location is in the Barbados, and this is the Fisher Pond Great House. The Fisher Pond Great House was a plantation house that is about 350 years old, and it is said to be haunted by a number of ghosts, but one spirit is of a young girl named Violet, who had drowned in the pond on the land many years ago. She is said to like to play games, and she is also very mischievous. She is very fond of locking people in the bathroom. Also, the clinking of mysterious glasses can be heard in the middle of the night, as well as disembodied footsteps. Another plantation house in the Barbados that is said to be haunted is the Halton Plantation House. Now, many times an apparition of an old man has been seen in the house. No one knows for sure who the old man is, but there is speculation that the spirit is the Honorable Samuel Rose, who was buried in the family vault at the Halton Plantation in 1798. The vault can be observed in one of the tucked away cart roads. Now we're on to two haunted lighthouses, both in the Bahamas. Our first lighthouse is called the Great Isaac Lighthouse. It's in the northern tip of the Bimini Islands. The Great Isaac Lighthouse is said to be haunted by many ghosts. In the late 1800s, a ship wrecked off the coast of the island, and only one survived, a child. Now, according to the local legend, the ghost of the nicknamed Gray Lady is said to be the child's mother, and the Gray Lady is said to roam the shore during a full moon looking for her lost child. Our next lighthouse is the Stirrup Cay Lighthouse. This lighthouse stands guard at the northern tip of the Barrier Islands. The lighthouse itself is actually automated, and it has been for years, but that does not stop the locals from experiencing strange noises, happenings at the lighthouse. I saved the last two locations for the best for the last, or the best for last, as I meant to say. Now, this is another location in the Barbados, and you guys may have heard of it. This is the Chase Crypt that is located in the Christchurch Cemetery. Christchurch Cemetery is home to the eerie Chase Crypt. It belonged to Colonel Thomas Chase and his two daughters. It was bought half buried in 1724. With the death of the colonel and his daughters, a quick succession was made, and a heavy marble slab was placed in front of the door of the Chase's final resting place. When the burial team removed the slab, they discovered that the coffins of the family had been thrashed about the empty room within the crypt. The coffins stood up straight up against the wall of the crypt. The burial team could not find any foul play from either man nor beast. They buried the coffins again and threw sand all over the floor, and years later, the tomb was then rechecked, and once again, within the crypt, the family's coffins were strewn all around the place, and once again, they stood up against the wall, straight up against the wall of the crypt. There were no footsteps evident in the sand. And our last location for this segment goes to the Rose Hall Grey House in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard of the White Witch, aka Annie Palmer? She gained her nickname from the slaves that she tortured on her plantation. It's said that she killed and tortured her slaves in the basement of her home. All three of her husbands met an unfortunate end. Annie was born in Haiti, but sadly, both her parents had died from yellow fever, and that left Annie in the care of a woman who had taught her voodoo and witchcraft. Now, following turmoil, and as it was no longer safe for white people to reside in Haiti at the time due to uprising, Annie was whisked away from Haiti to Jamaica by her first husband, a man by the name of John Palmer, who was the owner of Rose Hall. But unfortunately for John Palmer, Annie was a powerful dark arts practitioner, and she was also very controlling and violent. Annie is believed to have killed John and the last two of her husbands. Annie was also known to take lovers from her male slaves, and she too would also kill them once she grew tired of them. Her reign of terror, however, did end when she met an equally powerful practitioner who was a former slave, by the name of Taku. Why Annie's life came to an end is split between two variants of the tale. One variant is that she cursed Taco's son-in-law, and the other is that she actually cursed Taco's own child. But one thing both variants can agree on is that Annie was killed by Taku by using dark black magic and physical force and violence. Annie Palmer is said to be buried on the grounds of Rose Hall, and according to local lore, her tomb was supposed to be sealed with a voodoo ritual that was to keep her spirit imprisoned forever. But the ritual was never completed, and now Annie Palmer's spirit still roams the halls of Rose Hall. People who have claimed to have seen the ghost of Annie riding around on her horse on the plantation, they have also claimed to see her on the balcony of Rose Hall. The famous ghost hunter Hans Holzer claimed that the spirit of Annie Palmer took over the body of trance medium Eileen Garrett. Dun dun dun! And that so concludes our list of spooky haunted locations in the Caribbean. So join me next for a few true ghost stories coming up. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And for tonight's final segment, I'm going to be telling you guys a few quick little spooky ghost stories to end tonight's segment or episode, if you will. So the first little tidbit that I had gathered here, just surfing the web, is from a Reddit user by the name of Solid Voice. Now his story involves the ghost of a little boy. And to quote him, I say, "There is the ghost of a young boy who lives in our house that our guests have seen. We rent from the original owner, and there is no bad history, but a dozen of people have seen him walking around upstairs. I leave my phone on the nightstand at night, and I often find hundreds of scribbles open on the notepad when I wake up. So that was from the Reddit user Solid Voice. The next story that I have here is from Reddit user Mama Lana, and this story has to do with her own daughter. This is a spirit that she had seen when she was about 2 or 2.5 years old, yeah. And to quote Mama Lana's story here, I begin. One night, when my daughter was 2.5 years old, we were home alone talking right before bed. We were playing a game where we gave her all stuffed animals with silly names. Named the last one, and she asked, "What's her name?" I asked something along the lines of, "Who?" "Honey, we already named everyone." She then points to the blank wall and says, "That little girl." Now, I don't know if it was just an overactive imagination or something else. All I know is that it freaked me out enough to sleep with the lights on for the next few weeks. And that was from Reddit user Mama Lana. This next story is from Redditor, Soraka is my savior. And to begin this story, I quote, "I have memories as a young child in a certain house. Several very bizarre things happened. I have no logical explanation for them. The best I can do is to explain them logically, or hallucinations. But I have never experienced anything away from that home. The oddest one to me had to do with my new wallpaper. We had to change it. It had dinosaurs on it. I would see the dinosaurs marching around and killing each other. This happened during the same times, several nights until we took it down. Items used to move and get thrown on their own accord. A particular favorite was a rocking chair. It would change positions and rock. One night, when my grandparents were staying over, I awoke to find someone I didn't know in the chair who looked strange. A stuffed animal walked one time. I awoke with scratches that looked like nails. Maybe it was just my effed up child brain, but I don't remember it that way. The scratches were really strange. And that's from Soraka Is My Savior, a Redditor. And that is one strange story, I gotta say that. Our next story is from another Redditor, from m_420. And to start the story, I quote, "When I lived in Minnesota, I would go over to my friend's house a lot. One day, I was sitting on the couch watching TV, and I heard a girl screaming right in my ear. It was like she was screaming at the top of her lungs, but the volume was turned down. So it wasn't the true volume of a scream. There was nothing there, obviously, so I just wrote it off. Well, a week or so later, one of the guys whipped his head around and said, 'I just heard a girl screaming.' We both knew there was no one else in the house. I didn't hear a girl screaming, but then neither did anyone else when she screamed in my ear. I don't think she was mean or bad. I think she was sad, lonely, wanting attention. I felt bad that I couldn't reach out to her." That's from Redditor M420. And I've got to say, I absolutely probably agree with that. That does seem like a cry for help or attention. And our next story comes from Redditor 2abstract788. And to start the story, I quote, "I was late night gaming. My dog was hanging out with me and started to bark into the dark bedroom. When I went to check it out, I could hear fingernails scratching inside my bedroom closet. As I got closer, the scratches started getting quieter. The sound stopped when I was right in front of the closet. Crash! Stuff started hitting the inside of the closet door. I ran straight outside. No way I was going to stay in there alone this time. 30 minutes go by, and my buddy comes over to check things out with me. I opened the closet to find all of my clothes in hangers all over the floor of the closet. We searched every hall and wall and ceiling for any secret openings. No secret doors to be found." And that's from Redditor 2abstract788. And for our last ghost story of tonight, we are going to examine the story from Big Chala, the Redditor Big Chala. It's called Oh Hi Grandma. And to begin the story, I quote, "One day when my daughter was two, we were having a typical terrible twos moment. She was throwing a bit of a tantrum for about 5 to 10 minutes, and we couldn't get her under control. At some point, she rather suddenly stopped and started staring at the wall. She then started lightly giggling. It was weird. One second she is crying and screaming, and the next she is smiling and happy. Then she starts saying, 'Funny lady,' over and over. We asked her who she saw, and she pointed to the wall and again said the 'Funny lady.' When we asked her to describe who she saw, she described my deceased grandmother. I mean, exactly described her. She had never met her, and I don't think had ever even seen a picture. Not that a 2-year-old could remember a picture. I am not much of a believer in the paranormal, but I know for sure that my daughter got a chance to meet my mom, and that makes me happy." When I told this story to my parents, they didn't seem as shocked as I was. When I tried to get a response from them, they looked at me and said, "I guess you don't remember when you met your deceased grandfather when you were 3. The same exact thing happened to you 30 years ago." And that was from Redditor Big Chala. And thus that ends tonight's podcast episode. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight, and I will see you guys in the outro. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys have a great weekend and full work weekend ahead of you. I hope you guys stay safe, make good choices, be kind to one another, and as always, stay spooky. And as usual, I will see you guys for an all new episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast next Friday. I don't know what the topic will be, but it's always a surprise here at Demimonde, so we'll reveal it in time. Until then, take care and have sweet dreams, and I will see you soon. Good night.